It's the Who's On First baseball show with the coach, Carl DeMasi, and the baseball fanatic, Kyle Lawson.
The fellow's name on first base.
Who?
The guy on first base.
Who is on first?
Talking all things baseball on the Coach's Corner Sports Network.
I'm not asking you who's on second.
Who's on first?
I don't know. Third base.
And here we are, the coach and the baseball fanatic.
And good evening, sports fans. We got it rocking and rolling out. Welcome to the Who's On First Base baseball podcast for June 30th, 2020, live from Coach's Corner. Coach's Corner is the proud sponsor of five shows here at the Coach's on the Coach's Corner Sports Network. Of course, you got, if you didn't weren't watching, 6 o'clock, we had Rubbin' and Grubbin', the NASCAR show with Atlanta man, Brandon Bain, talking everything NASCAR. Then we usually don't come on Wednesday nights. I usually come on Saturday mornings, the Carl DeMasi Sports Report from 9 to 11. And then we have the 19th hole. The Herb Brothers do a whole show 4 days straight on the Masters. We're trying to get them to do at least one more big-time PGA event, but we'll see what happens with the Herb Brothers. They do a great job. Go to YouTube. You can see their show. Then, of course, we have two podcasts. You got to check it out. Spencer Maddox, Travis Dunn. It's like show number 73. Check it out. Anyway, you can get a podcast you can listen to, the Hot Greens podcast with the young guys, the young pups. Okay. That's, of course, Spencer Maddox, Travis Dunn. They do a great job. Now, remember, it's a great show. I listen to it, but it's adultish. So if you have any young kids, you don't want to listen to it, get them out of the room. But it's pretty much getting cleaner. They're doing a better job at it. So, but you got to see two young guys talking sports. What are you going to say? You're going to have to expect something to come out of their mouth, especially the Atlanta Hawks going four straight. I don't know about that one. But we'll talk about that another day because this is a baseball show. Then, of course, the fifth show, the second podcast. This is episode number 11 for the Who's On First Base baseball podcast with the coach, Carl DeMasi, and the baseball fanatic, Kyle Lawson. Now, we've done this for 4 years on the radio.
Years.
Now we've taken it to the internet, okay, and we're talking about baseball. We play four innings every Wednesday. First inning, we talk about who's in first, who's down to first, who's on first base. I don't know.
Third base.
Okay. Then we get into the second inning, and we're going to flip it again this week. We're going to have the Bananas. That's right. Savannah Bananas clinched the playoff spot. Okay. We're going to have the head coach, Tyler Gillen, come on. And then in the third inning, it's going to be Brave Focus. And we're going to bring on one of those Hot Grid podcast hosts, Travis Chadon. He's going to break down the Braves with us, and he'll be clean. You don't have to worry about the adultish part right there. We'll keep it straight. And then we'll end it out. We'll do baseball trivia, inning number four. He's winning 6-2-2. He has shut me out for 4 years straight. I've won two this year so far.
He's on a heater.
The coach is getting a little better. Okay. So let's take it right away. Let's take it to – Inning number one. We're going to talk about who's in first place. And I'm going to ask the baseball fanatic if he thinks that that team is going to stay there for their whole year. So it'll be yay or nay.
Yay,
they're staying. Nay, they're not staying. So we're going to start in the junior circuit. We're going to start in the American League East where the Yankees are just horrible. But anyway, we'll go with that. Right now, the Boston Red Sox are 49-31. They have a two-game lead over the Tampa Bay Devil Rays.
You're so never going to let go never going to let the Devil Rays.
I want my black cat with my green logo Devil Ray. Sorry, but now we're baby blue and a sunshine. Give me a break.
Hey, I've still got the inaugural pennant from 1998. I still have it in my collection. I'm not getting rid of it.
I mean, it's ridiculous, okay? But everything's got to be politically correct. Toronto's in third place. Then the Yankees in fourth place, and they're playing like a fourth-place team. And then, of course, the poor Baltimore Orioles. But just so you know, Boston, Tampa Bay, Toronto are all over 500. So it's not a bad division.
No,
just that we don't have some good baseball. So the first question is, do the Red Sox stay in first place for the rest of the year? Yay or nay?
Based on the thunder they got in their lineup, I'm going yay. You got J.D. Martinez, Xander Bogaerts, and Rafael Devers right now. They're getting some really good starting pitching right now. Now, the Rays, I still think, you know, could sneak into the wild card. They're only, you know, they're only a couple games out right now. Two games back right now. We're 81 games in. As of today's show, we are halfway through this major league season.
And you know what stinks?
What stinks?
It used to be 81 games. We had the All-Star game.
Yeah, I know.
But we don't.
Right at that cutoff.
But what's it now? June 7th?
We got to cut it. You know, we got to wait a little bit. So, at any rate, Boston has been one of the most pleasant surprises. Nobody expected them to be able to stay in first place. I thought Tampa Bay had a pretty comfortable lead early on in June, but it was a small sample size. They lose one of their aces in Tyler Glasnow. They're still going to be a threat. I think Boston, I'm going yay.
You know, I'm going to say right now, I want the Yankees, of course. That's who I root for. That's who I grew up rooting for.
When you were a youth?
I was a Met fan until they got rid of Tom Seaver. So then I went over to the dark side, okay? So I don't think it's a lock yet. I really don't. I'm going to say nay. I think Toronto is good enough to put a lot of pressure. Look at the young guns they got.
Oh, yeah. You know about the Thunder? You got Vlad Jr. I mean, right. You got the Thunder right there. Now, they've already gone out and they've added some depth.
Right.
And, you know, add some depth to that bullpen, you know, and they've made a couple of moves there. I still think they're a wild card team. I think Boston is a stronger team. I still think it's going to come down between them and Tampa Bay when we get to the dog days and into September.
I like
But that's my opinion.
I like them too.
They're a fun team to watch.
And they got major league blood in their system.
Oh, so get out of here. Yeah, Biggio, and you got Vlad Jr.
Okay, let's make this quick.
All right, let's go.
Let's go to the Central now. The AL Central.
Central.
Chicago White Sox. They're up 2.5 games over the Indians, or they're probably going to be called the Spiders. Okay.
We'll wait and see on that one.
Those are the only two teams playing over 500. Chicago White Sox. Yay, they stay, or nay, they don't for the whole season.
Yay. I don't think Cleveland ends up holding out for the rest of the year. And Jose Abreu got injured the other day, took a ball off his knee. He's probably going to see some time on that DL. Now, Eloy Jimenez, one at big number 74, he looks like he is going to be ready to go. He's been cleared for baseball activities. He's probably going to have a rehab start in Charlotte. He's coming back. That rotation, they go out and they add a veteran in Lance Lynn. You're getting what you got from Lucas Giolito. And don't know if you're going to see a guy like Michael Kopech, but get ready to see a team that's going to add. And they finally went back to the drawing board. Jerry Reinsdorf is in his 80s. He wants to see a winner on the South Side. That's a yay all day.
Nah, I'm going to say nay. I'm going to say the Indians, Terry Francona, the man knows how to coach. I know he's going to go against Tony La Russa, who at 75 is trying to be tough on these young guys. It's not going to work. I'm going to say the Indians are going to pull this one out.
Really?
So you got a yay, I got an A. All right? They're only 2.5 games up, and we still got 81 games to go yet. All right, AL West.
Come on.
The Astros back in first place, a game and a half over the Oakland A's. Seattle is 7 games back.
So Seattle's been fun.
They've been fun to watch, you know, but they got caught with a little sticky fingers there. So, but we won't go any further. The first player to get caught with some substance in his glove. But yay and nay. Houston stays, yay. Houston goes.
Okay, nay. Now, honestly, a month ago I would have said, you know, I like Oakland. And I still like Oakland to sneak up in the wild card race. And I hate to keep giving all these yays, but it's getting more obvious. You know what they can do. I mean, Houston's a good ball club. I mean, you get past all the, you know, banging on the trash cans and all that. They're a well-run organization.
Hey, you're not cheating. You're not trying, right, Astro fans? Oh, sorry, I didn't say that.
See, I feel like we're talking about NASCAR. Come on, man. But no, I like Houston. I'm sorry. They're 48-32 right now. Oakland's still knocking on the door. I always think the A's are like the little engine that could, but no. That's 3 straight yays for who is leading in that division.
All right, let's go to the senior circuit. We'll stay out west. The Giants are 1.5 games over the Dodgers, who've won 5 straight. San Diego's right there lurking in third place, 3 games out to the Giants. The Cinderella story right now is the Giants. Do they stay yay or no nay?
You're going to get your first nay from me right here, and I'll tell you why. You're looking at 3 potential playoff teams coming out of one division. That's how tough that division is. And I can take it just from, you know, being, you know, a lifelong Cub fan, watching our road trip, going out and seeing that Thunder in L.A. and in San Fran and dealing with San Diego. I still think the Dodgers have more depth. They're only 1.5 back. They're going to skunk them at some point. It's been fun to watch. I still think the Giants are a playoff team. The Giants are a playoff team, but the Dodgers are coming for them. I'm sorry. I see it. I just see that championship pedigree. They're going to run out of gas at some point. Lightning in a bottle, fun, but nah.
All right. So there's his first nay. He doesn't think the Giants can do it out there in McCovey's Cove. All right. His favorite division, the Central Division. The Brew Crew up 6 games on your Cubbies. Your Cubbies are 3-7 over the last 10 games. Cincinnati is at 500. St. Louis is right there hanging around in fourth place. So does the Brew Crew stay for the rest of the year? Yay. Or they are not going to make it. They'll be gone. Nay.
You're getting a nay for me. And I'm
two back-to-back nays?
Two back-to-back nays. And the only reason I'm giving you a nay on that
is
because
he's a Cubbies fan.
No, no, no. You stop that.
Okay.
Now, I will tell you this right now. Yeah. The Brewers have played a cupcake schedule. Now, they're a fantastic team. They've gone out there and won the games they've needed to win. They've got the Cubs on some hard times.
Right.
Cincinnati's been fun to watch. And, of course, this is going to be a telling series as the Cubs are going to play them this weekend, starting tomorrow, but or starting Friday. But I will tell you this. Milwaukee's pitching is superb, but their offense is nothing really special. You get a couple of guys with lightning in a bottle, but, I mean, it's not blowing me away. If they have any chink in their armor, I would say it's the lack of overall offensive production, but they've really been doing well to run an 8-game win streak right now. I still say that's the weakest division in baseball. It could be a 3-team race. That's why I'm saying nay right now. You talk to me in a month.
All right, let's go to the last one. We're going to go to the NL East, and you're talking about a team that can't hit the ball, but they have a heck of a pitching staff. The Mets are in first place. They got a 3-game lead over the – I was going to say the Senators. Now I'm really giving away my age. The Washington Nationals, Phillies hanging around. Atlanta just can't get over that 500 hump. So do the Mets stay the rest of the year, 81 games in? Is it a yay they're going to take the NL East, or it's nay they're not going to be able to hold on?
If they stay healthy, I'm giving you a yay. I really do, and I hate to do it because the Braves have been one of the most disappointing stories for me. You look at all – you look at everything that team has been built on.
Right.
And they just – can't put it together. Inconsistent pitching, injuries, freak injuries. We'll get to that in the next segment, Mr. Mike Soroka. But I really have enjoyed watching this Met team. For someone who has disliked that team for a great many years, but I don't think Philadelphia's got it. Washington's had some fun. Kyle Schwarber's hitting the ball at an unworldly pace. It's unbelievable. But I believe in the Mets. I think they're going to come out on top.
All right, there you have it. So we had three yays in the AL. We had two nays in the NL. So we'll see what happens. We're at 81 games in. That's what you got to listen to. That's what we're going by. All right. Normally, we'd go to Brave Focus, but Savannah Banana guests are coming on right on time. But you're going to love this because this man knows how to flip the switch. Now, I didn't go – there's no crying in baseball because I just don't have the authority to put that language, but – it's a great one. Go to YouTube. Go Savannah Bananas. You got to watch. There's no crying in baseball.
It's a treat.
But this man, the head coach, knows how to flip the switch. And when he can do this song and do this with a horn, with a horse that poops in center field while he's doing it, it's pretty impressive. There you go, buddy. Great song. Over 26,000.
So you heard anything about this new coach?
Yeah, I heard the dude's a daggum nut.
Yeah, I'm gonna take my horse to the old town road. I'm gonna ride till I can't no more. I'm gonna take my horse to the old town road. I'm gonna ride till I can't no more.
I got the horses in the back, horse stock is attached. Head is matted black, got the bushes black to match. Riding on a horse, ha, you can whip your Porsche. I've been in the valley, you ain't been up off that porch now. Can't nobody tell me nothing.
You can't tell me nothing.
Can't nobody tell me nothing.
You can't tell me nothing.
Hat down, cross town, living like a rock star. Spend a lot of money on my brand new guitar. Baby's got a habit, diamond rings and Fendi sports bras. Riding down Rodeo in my Maserati sports car. Got no stress, I've been all that. I'm like a Marlboro man, so I kick on back. Wish I could roll on back to that old town road. I wanna ride till I can't no
more. Yeah, I'm gonna take my horse to the old town road. I'm gonna ride till I can't no more. I'm gonna take my horse to the old town road. I'm gonna ride till I can't no more.
tell me that isn't something special. if that doesn't get you pumped up, this guy is the coach. But we had Kyle Luigs on last week, and he told you his famous motto, that's, of course, the head coach of the Bananas, is learn how to flip the switch. Learn when it's time to play baseball. Learn when it's time to get ready. Hey, this man's flipped the switch for 4 straight years. Joining us now on the Coach's Corner Hype Seat, the head banana himself, the man that knows how to flip the switch. You saw him. He's a great actor, but he also is a better coach, if you ask me. When you take a team and they're 20-3 and they've already clinched the pennant, you got to love it. Tyler, great job. Thanks for coming on.
What's up, boys? Hey, I appreciate that, man. Full video right there. That was big time by you guys. I'm happy to be on here and talk shop with you guys. Hey, Kyle, first off, Cubs fan, okay? Grew up watching WGN. The guy that Rhino, I'm telling you, that's my heart right there, brother. Hey, my cousin that I looked up to, the reason why I even got into baseball is because my older cousin, huge Ryan Sandberg fan. Yes. And like, we used to collect cards. He had over 500 cards of Ryan Sandberg. So I appreciate that, Kyle. So, yeah, that brought back some memories right there with that shirt. It's a bad shirt.
Oh, man, I love hearing that, Skip. Well, hey, we love having you on here. I was really looking forward to this interview. So thanks for taking the time.
Coach. Hey, I connected to you guys, especially that Ryan Sandberg. So my firstborn, I want to name Ryan. Ryan, after Ryan Sandberg. Wife said, no, we're not having that. So, you know who wears the pants in the family, that coach?
Oh, you got to veto that, big dog. You got to veto that.
All right. So, 4 years in Savannah, Georgia. What brings you back to this crazy place every year?
It's always a challenge. I've coached summer baseball for 10 years now. This is my 4th year with the Bananas, and it's always something new, right? And coming to Savannah back in 2018, a big piece of it was the challenge of really flipping the switch, like you guys were talking about, taking the entertainment and the baseball side of things and combining those and being really good at both of those. So as you guys know, our owner, Jesse Cole, wants to have the best entertainment for fans in the world from a sports perspective. And, I want to dog pile and win baseball games and develop guys, right? So that was the goal, try to put both of those together. And, man, we're doing a pretty good job of it so far. We've got an unbelievable group of boys, and they're basically rattling it off right now.
So tell us what you're doing off season, where you at the college. I know what college you're at, but tell everybody what you're doing outside of Savannah, Georgia and the Bananas.
Yeah, so during the regular year, school year, I'm at South Mountain Community College. It's in Phoenix, Arizona. I've been out there for 10 years. I'm full-time faculty there on campus. So I run our exercise science department. Underneath that, I basically do all of our strength and conditioning. I'm a certified strength and conditioning coach. I manage our fitness center. I teach about 5 or 6 classes every semester. And then I speak on the side too and do some speaking engagements. But we've been out in Phoenix for 10 years. And then in the summer, we go somewhere and coach baseball. And the last 4 years, that's been banana land.
Now, there's a family that follows you out here?
Yeah, so the superhero, my wife, Danielle, she's out here in the summer. She's a nurse, so she had a job as an elementary school nurse. So in the summer, she had off, so she was able to travel. And then we just had our firstborn child, Camden Dean Gillum. He's 9 months old now. So he came out here first year in Savannah. He did the banana baby. He was banana baby game one. And so we got to do the whole thing. So it's awesome having them out here, and my wife can't get enough credit, man. She's the rock star.
Yeah.
Your turn.
All right. Well, Skipper, you talked about you've been coaching, you know, summer college baseball for 10 years. For those that may not know, tell me a little bit, just brief bio, your background, and just why you're still in baseball. That's I love all about it.
Yeah, so Ada, Oklahoma, originally born and raised Ada, Oklahoma, small town.
Yep.
Went to Latta High School, which is a small 2A high school. Got lucky enough to play for the nation's winningest high school baseball coach, Eddie Collins. So he actually just broke that record this past fall. I think the record was 2,116 wins. So unbelievable. He really put my life on a path of baseball and kept me out of trouble. That's really what it was. And so I owe a lot to him. Love that man for everything he's taught me as a man, but also from the baseball side of things. I got a really good foundation of baseball. And so from there, I played at Seminole State Junior College in Oklahoma, yep. Which is one of the winningest junior colleges in the country. And, learned a lot, how to be tough there, how to really work. It's 24/7, 365 there. If you don't love baseball, like, you don't make it at Seminole. We actually had kind of a little short background story. My freshman year, we had 16 guys quit because it was so hard. And a crazy story is one of those guys was Evan Gattis. So I played with Evan Gattis. That's when he ended up he quit baseball for a little bit. So you guys probably know the background story, being Georgia guys. You know, he was a janitor. He was a all the crazy things he did. Then he went to Mexico and played, and then he came back and played D2 baseball and got drafted by the Braves. But anyway, I played with Evan Gattis, and he was on that team. You guys want to talk about a man amongst boys? Oh my gosh. That dude used to swing a 35-ounce wood when we were in college like it was a toothpick. Hit absolute nukes. You know, it was unbelievable. So anyway, played at Seminole, went back home, played at East Central in my hometown, East Central University. It's a Division II school. And I went there because I knew I could jump onto the coaching staff. So jumped onto the coaching staff after that, got my master's degree. And then I said, where is the best place where I can make connections and learn the most? And I thought that was Phoenix, Arizona, with all the junior colleges there and the spring training complexes. So I packed my bags up, didn't really own or have very much money, and I moved my butt to Phoenix, and it's paid off. It's helped me out in so many ways. And it's hard to move now, man. It's 75 and sunny all the time. Our recruiting pitch is we shovel sunshine 24/7. So I always joke that God makes sure that I get all of my tarp pulls in when I come to Savannah, because it never rains in Phoenix. But when I come here, I got to do a bunch of tarp pulls. I got to make up for it.
I hear you on that. So if you join us, it's the Who's on First Base baseball podcast. The coach, Carl DeMasi, with the baseball fanatic, Kyle Lawson. We're talking to the head coach from the Savannah Bananas. 4 years here in Savannah, Tyler Gillum. So you got a four-year crew. You got some bondage with these guys that have been here for 4 years, with Leroy and Mr. Kyle there.
Yeah, man. I'm so lucky to have those guys. I mean, that doesn't happen in summer baseball, to have guys for 4 years. So we've got Leroy and we got Lugs, and they've been unbelievable, not just from the baseball side of things, but when you have those guys that return every year, especially in our environment, they're able to lead those guys that are coming, right? That come in. So when you talk about all the entertainment stuff that gets some guys out of their comfort zone, they lead the way on all of that. You know, they're bananas through and through. And, I'm lucky to have those guys, you know, fighting for us every single day. So they're like my brothers, to be honest with you. You know, I'll be lifelong friends with Lugs and Leroy. And, you know, I'm fortunate to have those guys.
The four-year club.
Four-year club.
Gillum, Lugs, and Leroy.
Yeah, no doubt. And, Skip, we had the chance to talk with Kyle, you know, a while back. You know, I just said, man, a four-year nanner? I said, man, when are they going to put your number in back on that outfield
on the wall
at Grace?
No doubt.
And he had a good idea. Put up a nice little banana peel with his number on there.
I had that idea. This big banana. That's right. You always got to be creative. Right there, Coach?
Hey, I love that idea, actually. There's been some talks. We've got to do something for these guys. I mean, as much time and effort as they've put in and help us win ball games and help us impact fans, like, they've just killed it in the last 4 years. And there's going to be something coming down the stream here. We'll see what ends up happening before the summer's over.
Yeah, I have no doubt, Skip. And I mean, of course, you know, I always thought it's like, you know, the way, you know, the community's just kind of bonded around this team, and just the idea of what the bananas mean to Savannah just grew out of a, you know, an interesting, you know, fun idea with some really creative owners. You know, eventually there's going to be that ring of honor out there, because that's, everybody loves banana ball. Everybody loves what the bananas bring to this community. Now
bananas grow on trees, right? bananas come from trees, right?
I buy them at Kroger, dude.
So instead of a ring of honor, we're going to have a tree of honor, okay? We're going to have the bunches coming from the tree, buddy.
And sometimes that's I right. get Publix where the savings never stop.
Stops. Okay.
So there you go. So
let's talk about this. All right.
So I'll leave you with this. So 20-3, first half, you take the West, okay? You're having a ball. You know, you got your veteran guys. You got some first-year guys. What are you looking forward to the most for this second half as you make a run at the Pettit Cup?
Yeah, I mean, in summer ball, it's always trying to keep the team together throughout the end of the summer, right? So sometimes, you know, guys got to – either pitchers get shut down or guys got to leave and go to school early. So the goal by the end of the summer, every summer, is to try to keep your best players around. So really we just take it day by day, though, from the standpoint of, like, how can we be really good today and win today? And if we stay focused on that, you know, good things happen, and that's what – we've done so far. This group's, you know, we're known for, you know, we get a lot of the likes or retweets or social media attention because of all the entertainment stuff that we do. But when you really look at it, like, these guys can really play baseball. And so we're 20-3. We're pretty much leading in every offensive category, not offensive category, but a lot of the offensive categories when it talks about runs and average and on base percentage. But from the pitching side, I think we're leading in ERA, whip, strikeouts, and then fielding percentage-wise, I think we're tied with first place for fielding percentage. So when you put all those – I mean, that's the three big ones, right? So when you do that, you end up having a good team. But, man, we've got so many guys that have played a role. You know, we don't just play the same nine guys or, you know, pitch the same guys out of the bullpen. We've got a full group of 30 guys that are pitching in, and it seems like it's when you're winning this many games, you've got somebody else stepping up every single night. And so it's a fun group, and we're just trying to be really good every single day. And that's kind of the MO, just be as good as we possibly can today, and we'll go from there.
Learn how to flip the switch too. How do you get these guys? I mean, just reading about it and watching it, they're trying to figure out, hey, if I get a hit, is it going to be a bat flip? Or when I score, is it going to be a bull after the Matador? I mean, this has got to be so much fun for these guys. Is that like, is it out there like South College? I mean, are they doing the same things, or you're straightforward? I mean, because I could see baseball being more fun for more kids and more players if you let them have fun. But, you know, the major leagues, I don't know if they're ever going to let this happen. When you're paying someone $500,000 to go out there and give a rose to somebody in the stands, It's going to be a hard sell, but Jesse's on the right track, and I think you're preaching it too, right?
Yeah, so flip the switch. I mean, that's really talking about going from the entertainment back to the baseball, back to the entertainment, back to the baseball in a flip of a switch, right? And so it's really just being really good in the moment where you're at. And then from there, our biggest thing with what we do within our culture and in our environment is how do we impact each other and the fans throughout the entire game, right? And it's bringing energy and connection, right? So example would be like, we always talk about creating never forget moments. So how can you create never forget moments? So you guys probably have a never forget moment that you know of when you were at a sporting event, right? You got to connect with the player, ball, a bat. And so we try to create so many of those every single night. And it starts at 5:30 when the gates open, and we have our players out front meeting and greeting fans. And what we talk about in that setting at 5:30 is H3. So H3 stands for hugs, high fives, and handshakes. So as soon as you see somebody, it's one of those three, right? And so you automatically create a connection with the fan that's coming to a game. So think about if you got to go – you know, back in the day, you got to go to a Braves game and you got to meet Chipper Jones, or you got to go to a Cubs game, Kyle, and you got to high five or hug Rhino, right? Like, you would never forget that.
I did.
Exactly. And so that's probably a never forget moment for you, right?
Ron Santo.
There you go. You know, and so that's what we try to do every single night. And then, you know, when the game starts, we have a lot of promos. So you'll see us in the stands a lot. And really how a lot of that craziness happens. One, it starts with Jesse. Jesse, if you know of Jesse, Jesse writes down ideas. He writes down 10 ideas every single morning. So he has a booklet. He writes down 10 different ideas. So that's where a lot of the craziness starts. Then from there, it goes to Zach, our director of entertainment. And so Zach does the same thing, and him and Jesse have actually spent a lot of time having idea paloozas. And we do that with our front office too. And now we've taken it to the next step. And at 3:50, right before we hit BP on the field at our home games, we have an idea palooza for 10, 15 minutes with our baseball team. And we say, hey, all right, when we score the first run, what are we going to do? When we score the second run, what are we going to do? And that's where those celebrations come from. And so that's why, you know, you see us every time we get a base hit, our entire dugout, a single, one clap. We hit a double, two claps. You see it from everybody. And now you start seeing all of our fans do it. When we steal a base, we do the baby shark. And you see all of our fans do it. Or when Leroy comes to the plate and he has his walk-up song and it's clapping, you see 4,000 fans doing it. And so that's where, again, you create connection, and that's where people feel like they're a part of the entire Bananas Nation, really. And that's where you create a following. That's why we sell out so many games, is we break down the barrier between player and fan and create never forget moments.
You just got to love the internet, Coach.
We're back. You guys got me?
We're back.
Sorry about that.
You good?
So you were talking about the connection, the 10 things your team's going to do.
Yeah, so connection, just creating those never forget moments, right? And so when we do those idea paloozas at 3:50 before BP, these guys start taking ownership of what we're trying to do to impact fans. But also, I think what it does is start creating, like, hey, we need to have good ABs. Hey, we need to compete as hard as we possibly can, you know? And, you know, I tell these guys all the time, like, they're in college. Majority of them have never played in front of this many people. And, you know, so I tell them, like, hey, if you can't, you know, run hard or get a hard 90 or play as hard as you possibly can in front of people that are driving from New York or Washington or California, you guys are crazy, right? And so they have, you know, they have these ideas of, like, how can we create these never forget moments and really be the best show on dirt. And, you know, a lot of people, again, I can't say it enough. A lot of people think we just do entertainment. We got a lot of guys that are really good at baseball too.
They are. All right. You don't coach during the year in cowboy boots, do you?
Not at South Mountain. I get a bunch of people that ask all the time. After the first year we had the kilt game, when I went back to Phoenix, all the coaches were like, Gillum, you guys don't have kilts for South Mountain? And I'm like, nah, Todd Easton, our head coach. I'm like, I don't know if he's into kilts yet. We're working on Todd getting into those kilts. Yeah. In Phoenix. But, yeah.
Now, are you allowed to change those boots, or you're contracted to wear them the whole season?
Yeah, Jesse does whatever, you know. Jesse, what happened? This is how the boots came about. So we wanted to do the Old Town Road video, which is exactly what you guys showed today. And so he's like, hey, what do you think about wearing boots, you know, for the show? And I'm like, hey, it's part of it. I mean, it's Old Town Road. It matches. We're going to wear a horse a couple times. We're going to do we actually did Braveheart that year. So if you've seen the video of us doing Braveheart on the horse in the kilts, phenomenal face paint. It was legit. And so, that was just part of the show. And so, I wear them every day. I got insoles now. The first summer I didn't have insoles and I thought my feet were going to break. So I took a beating there, but, it's just part of the show now. It's all about having fun. So that's what we do.
Well, Tyler, I mean, great job. I mean, I've been Savannah for 26 years. This has changed the atmosphere, the culture over there in that old historic stadium.
Yep.
And it's a lot of fun. And, it, you know, you guys keep on selling out. And like you said, you got guys that believe in your motto, learn how to flip that switch, entertain a baseball player, and they're both pretty good.
No doubt. Hey, man, I really appreciate you guys having me on. Love it. And, Kyle, great job getting it started with that Rhino shirt. That fired me up already.
Oh, I got to. It's got to keep you fired up. It's imagine finding different ways to get you guys fired up. And so my little shirt does that. Well, Skip, great job in the second half. I love that you find the perfect balance between having fun and playing some really good baseball with some unbelievable players. Thanks for taking the time.
Absolutely, boys. Anytime. Thanks for having me on, and we'll talk to you guys soon.
Take care. Go bananas.
Go bananas.
I mean, he loves what he's doing. I mean, teaching out in Phoenix, great area to live. Then you come here for the summer. I mean, get you away from the grind at being a teacher, coach out there. But you know what? He loves it. The fans love him. 4 years. I hope he comes back for a fifth year.
I really does. And I mean, he just really enjoys what he does. And I mean, he's mentoring these guys and making them better players each day and having a great time. And I mean, if you can't have fun playing at Old Grayson, playing banana ball and just being a part of this club, what are you doing?
You know the saying, if you get up and go to work and you don't dread it and it's always fun, it's not a job.
You'll never work a day in your life.
So Tyler's not working a day in his life, whether it's out there in Phoenix or out here in Savannah.
Yeah, he may put in a good sweat, but he's having a good time doing it. So it's a lot of fun having him on. Coach, that might have been one of my favorite segments of the season.
All right, so we've run a little long. Savannah Bananas come back tomorrow night. Check them out. They're 20-3. They've already clinched the first half of the Coastal Plain League's first half season in the West, you know,
Western Division.
East and West. All these teams are on the coast. Why can't we have a North and South?
I don't know. And take it up no, with I don't the know brass third base. CPL. Well, I don't know about third base.
Who's on first?
I don't know.
I don't know. Okay. All right. Here we go. We got a special guest tonight. He's part of the Coach's Corner Network. Let's get his seat lined up. Joining us now on the Coach's Corner hot seat for Braves Focus is the man himself, is Travis Jordan. We don't have Spencer. We have one of the co-hosts from Hot Grids Podcast.
Right over here. I got a chair for you.
They're going to adjust their chairs here, and T-Money's going to find a spot between me and the coach.
It's the internet's
radio network, as we are wont to do.
All right, so we're in the third inning here. Let's bring on the young pup. Okay, let's adjust this a little further back.
Good to go.
There we go. We're good to go. Braves focus, okay? The Braves. Everybody's worried about the Braves. They're 4 games under 500. Kick us off there. We got him to help you with your questions or your information. Yeah.
Well, yeah, but I also put down a couple of thoughts of my own.
I don't think you need my help. I've heard Kyle talk baseball before.
Well, this is why you're here. You are a true blue Braves fan here, and I mean, this team.
No, he's not. He's like
He's
like you. He's got some Red Sox in him.
Well, let's discuss a little bit. I'm a Red Sox fan and a Red Sox apologist, but I do watch the Braves pretty much every night because I grew up that way.
Hey, it is what it is.
They were on TBS and obviously
they were America's team,
born and raised down here,
right?
And I still root for them really hard, but I think I'm definitely not a Falcons fan, definitely not a Hawks fan, but the Braves I do have a rooting interest for.
So you have a lot of information about the Braves right now. I mean, they're like we said, you know, 5 games under 500. You've always been waiting for the pitching to get better. Mike Soroka goes down with an ACL injury after rupturing his Achilles. I mean, where are we at right now?
Well, like the Braves, when Soroka goes down, there could be nothing more Georgia than that. It was the same day that Trey Young for the Hawks has a foot injury, and then Soroka gets his walking boot off, walks into the facility, and then does the same thing that he had done prior. Hopefully he'll come back at some point, 2023, 24. But for me, Soroka going down doesn't change the fact that this team has, from the very beginning this season, not played anywhere near what they had played previously. They don't look the same. They don't feel like a Brian Snitker type of team, right? They're not an old-school, grinded-out type of team. There's a lot of flair. A lot of show, and there's not a lot of dough right now because they're 4 games under 500.
Yeah, 4 games under 500.
But we're only at 81 games, and it's a typical Braves year where the Braves fans are jumping ship already.
We've been talking about that since April.
Well, Carl, not last year, but the year before.
Carl,
the second
they've been
half.
Terrible. They've been awful.
Oh, but it's 81 games. Man. But how, they're only five games out of first place.
Yeah, that's just because that's one of the weaker divisions. I thought the NL Central was a weak division. I mean, you know. Yeah, it really is. I mean, it's going back and forth here right now. Looking at inconsistency from starting pitching. One week, I mean, Charlie Morton got roughed up over the weekend. Max Fried, he'll go from having a dynamite start to just absolutely struggling to get through 5 innings. There is no bullpen. Do you think they're going to address that at the deadline? Because, I mean, hey, man, we got a month to go.
Do I think they will?
Yes.
It wouldn't surprise me if they didn't. It wouldn't surprise me if they did, but they certainly should.
Really?
But Kyle, look, they have a lot of holes now. They have Abraham Almonte and Guillermo Heredia are servicing the middle of your lineup right now as we speak.
Yeah.
When they're tied 2-2 with the Mets, Max Fried comes back today, gives up 2 in the first inning.
Yeah, there
to
you go.
To your point. I don't know. Right now, I wouldn't take them in a 3-game series, a 5-game series over the Mets. Certainly not the Mets. The Nationals, certainly I would take the Nationals the way they're playing right now. Philadelphia, even Miami is right there in the record with the Braves.
They're chippy as well.
They need a lot of help.
They really do. So it'll be interesting to see what Anthopoulos does. Now, I feel like I'm almost at a loss for words with this because I just don't have an answer where they need to go. And, you know, the only bright spot I'm seeing right now is, you know, one of, you know, the touted pitching prospects that's come up and really got the job done going out there and getting a great start is a guy like Ian Anderson.
Yeah.
And he has been, you know, just the one little bright spot in what's been just a mess for a month and a half.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, what the Braves' problems were what we thought small and pointed. We thought going into the year, the rotation, the back end maybe would struggle. We thought the bullpen would certainly not be as good as last year. But it's like I said, the things that those things have been true, by the way. Those things have not
no
been
doubt.
Good.
No doubt.
But then also Freddie Freeman's hitting 230, 240 for a large majority of the season. Marcelo Ozuna goes down with his stuff. And
he's done.
But Ian Anderson has been, I think, what you expected of him.
He really has.
Charlie Morton has been, and so
he's
there's
been
not
met.
A lot to be excited about.
Mola wasn't bad.
Well, that's what I was asking. So,
I mean, you got to take your bright spots when you can get them right now because this.
But
is
you're leaving
such
the bright spots out.
What and what are those?
Well, Albies and Acuna. Albies has a shot of setting the franchise record for extra base hits.
Yes, he does. We all know what Mr. Acuna.
I would just counter with
Mr. Trivia. Who holds that record for the Braves?
Most extra base hits in a
for the
season.
Braves. Yeah.
In a season.
In a season.
Yeah, I'm gonna go Dale Murphy.
Chipper second.
Andrew Jones.
Come on, the greatest Brave of them all.
Oh, Hank.
Hammering Hank, 92.
Oh man. Well, that
Chipper I didn't Jones, even know that.
Chipper Jones had 87, and Acuna Albies right now is at 41. And we got half the season to go.
Back in here. I thought that was off the top of his head.
Well, no, you got to come prepared. You got to come prepared.
I was about to be very, very impressed with that.
You got
to
come prepared.
I've seen him do it.
But you got to be prepared. I mean, I'm part of the Major League Press Box. I can get anything you want. So you want
impressive. That's a good-looking packet. Okay.
It's from the Braves. It's from the Braves.
Let me ask you
Merry Christmas.
Just, you know.
Let me know. I'll send it to you every day.
It's a really good, it's a nice paper. You get it Staples.
Yeah, it's
too,
nice so. Paper, right.
There you go.
All right, so go ahead.
But
let's talk bright spots. We're always talking about the bad stuff. Let's talk bright spots. You got Albies, you got Acuna. They're still hot.
And that's
Freeman's going to come around.
No, he will, sure, and he needs to be better. He still gets on base in a steady clip. He's in the mid-340s.
Sure.
I have no doubt that Freddie's going to hit back to form, but you know what he gets you at first base.
For sure. And bigger picture, Carl, I would just say the Braves fans waited through three straight 90-loss seasons.
Right.
Yeah, the rebuild.
They should not be – it should not be where if they are upset about losing and voice it, that should be encouraged, not frowned upon. They deserve a winner.
They
the
do.
Braves deserve a winner. And
the Braves fans deserve a winner.
They do, and they – and
right.
I'll do one even further.
It's got hurt when you win 15 Eastern Division titles and you only win one World Series.
It hurts in a special way. It hurts in a special way. But at some point, you've got to come off some of these prospects. The cupboard can't just continuously be stuffed with all these possibilities. And
yes,
maybe most of them
yes
don't really work out. You got to at some point come off of, say, Drew Smyre. If you fall too much further back, you could potentially see something like Drew Waters and Chuck Morton come off of their books. That would make sense to me.
Right.
But that would be really, really disheartening for them to sell at the deadline after going through and they've been pointing to this stretch forever. This is our window. This is our window. They
yeah
told us in 2018, 19.
It's like you're ready to rock and roll
right
in 2020.
And so I think people have a right to be upset about it. And it's certainly frustrating to watch for sure.
Okay, well, I'll leave you. Sorry, Coach, you got something? Go ahead.
I mean, it's 81 games into the season. July 4th is
yeah
4 days away. And as Mr. Snicker says, that's when he starts getting worried. We got a long season to go. It's not over. They did it in the second half last year.
If I was a Yankees fan, I would be telling myself that too. I would be telling myself, we still have plenty of time to turn this thing around.
But here's the difference, though. I'm like you. I live down here. I know more about the Braves than the stinking Yankees.
That's
Brian Cashman gets on the social media thing yesterday and says the Yankees stink. I'm not going to use the word he used. It's his fault. He's the guy to put the team together.
He's making a lot of sense.
They're not fast. All they want to do is hit home runs. They don't play small ball. They don't have enough lefty. Yankee Stadium, you don't have lefty batters in your lineup. The short porch in right field, it's still short. Don't get me started now, but I root for the Braves a lot more.
If Steinbrenner was around, Aaron Boone is not in that.
Aaron Boone is gone.
Right? Costanza, get in here.
Yeah.
Give me that eggplant calzone right there.
Yeah.
So,
but Snicker, I mean, the guy's a class act. He's been with the organization for years.
No, he knows the ins and outs. Right. Nobody's doubting that, and he's a calming presence. Travis,
agree,
go ahead.
Do you agree with that? That this team, you know how some teams reflect the personality of their manager,
right,
or their coach?
Very
right?
much. Yes.
You hear that a lot. Does this team reflect the personality of Brian Snicker?
He is laid back.
I don't know, man.
He is laid back.
They have very, very little fight. Very little fight.
You mean a lack of it, like a lack of a sense of urgency? Is that maybe another way of looking at it?
There's no grit. I mean, but the thing for me is let the kids play and right all this flair. I'm on board with all of it, 100%. But you got to win. You have to win if you want to have flair. And to be four games under 500 and making a lot of noise, for lack of a better word, there's not a lot of product. Hopefully they turn it around.
Yeah. So, all right. Yes. Yep. Yes. So we got to see how they turn around. We got 81s to go. So you think they have a shot or they don't have a shot?
I wouldn't.
At what?
At what?
Making the playoffs.
Like
wild
making
card.
A run at the division or making the run.
Wild card.
Just
I'm not
going to
go
to
division.
Card.
I'm going to say wild
not,
card.
No, not as currently constructed, because the wild card is a lost cause. Two teams are coming out the West.
No doubt. You're getting three teams out of the West that are either one's going to win the division and two are going to make it in.
So now you're talking about you're essentially six games back. At some point in time, you've got to basically play 15 games over 500
right.
from here on out.
Yes.
Do they seem to you like a team that's going to put together a 15 games over 500?
I don't feel that way. They're just not. They're not there. Let me ask you this. Okay, let's say, you know, to close this out here. So – let's say they're still playing middling baseball, maybe playing a little bit better as we get to at the end of July.
Yeah.
What are we doing? Are we going to move them? Are the Braves going to move any prospects? Are they going to stand pat and just try to attack this thing in the offseason? Because there's only so much value you're going to continue to get with some of these developing prospects.
So,
what do you think?
Again, I would say that this differs between what they will do and what I think they should do. They will do is probably not do anything or else acquire a fifth starter or maybe an old left-handed bullpen arm or something. Always fun up here at Coach's
Corner. It's always good to have our fans here.
I think, in the past, what they've done is acquire a bench piece.
He has no clues.
Come on. Bring your camera.
We're good.
All right. Can you get on the camera? I'd
we're
love
good.
To talk to you about the baseball.
Let's we gotta get
Ryan Sandberg t-shirt on.
He's a Cubs fan.
Oh man.
From Chicago?
Go.
Yes, he is.
Go.
Thank you. Well, that was good. Continue, sir.
I don't even know where what I think they will do is probably a disappointing move, a small move. But Kyle, either way,
hey, give the fans some adult beverages. That's what happens.
The Braves
well,
can't stay
nice
in the middle though,
party.
Right? They've gotta choose either buyer or seller.
Yeah, and that's just it. I don't think they're in the place to do that. I'm with you 100%, dude.
And they can wait. Like, so you got 30 days, right? You have 30 till the
deadline. Yeah,
that's one thing I got to say. I've never seen the Braves make a big move at the deadline. And they bring in these guys that are supposed to be excellent relievers. Nobody's done anything special.
That's been the biggest
problem.
So,
you know, it's going to be hard to be a wild card team, yes, but
yeah.
I still got some hope.
I'd like
81
to see
games
them,
to go.
I'd like to see them make a call to the Marlins about Duvall and especially Starling Marte. Starling Marte is on an expiring deal.
Yeah,
Anthopoulos
you can add some depth and you might want to bring him around. You think he would do well at Truist. I could see something like that when all it's going to cost you is cash.
Right. And so Starling Marte, you're going to essentially pay him $4 million for half a season of work. I'm okay with that.
And that's,
if I'm paying Drew Smyly $8 million for what he's produced so far.
Yeah, that's just
okay
it. It's a sunk cost at this point. But Trav, I mean, we'll see what happens here, but yeah, I see a standing pat team at the deadline, but that's the state of the Braves here in 2021, man.
Couple of good points. I mean, yeah, you take on the manager's personality, laid back guy. I mean, is he going to
like him?
Oh, I love him. I love him, but he's laid back, like he says. He's laid back.
Well, and he's an old school baseball guy, right? You got to play it there. He pulled up, we saw him pull Ronald Acuña in 2019. That was a big, big deal when he pulled him in the middle
right,
of the game
right.
mm-hmm. for not hustling. That's the kind of guy he is, right? His hustle, yeah. show up to work for. But this team, with all the flair and antics, has not really been a representation of
it. Hasn't lived up to the billing.
It doesn't feel like Ron Washington or right. Walt Weiss or any of those guys.
We got let down at the end of last year, you know, that last playoff game. Now we're getting let down for the first half of the season. So it's tough yes. right now. So you
a lot
never know
of ball. We'll see how it goes.
Hey, yep. it's always a great day to play baseball. That's all we got to say. So, well, Travis, tell them about Hot Grits Podcast.
Do it.
Thank you guys for having me on. Seriously.
Oh, hey, it's part of the Coach Scoring Sports Network.
Okay, Hot Grits Podcast. You can find it anywhere you find your podcasts: iTunes, Apple, Google, Spotify, are the big ones. At Podcast Grits on Twitter and hotgritspod@gmail.com. If you want to reach out to us. Or contact us in any way. I listen to you guys all the time. Y'all do a great job.
Man. Yeah, I love the podcast. I mean, it's adultish.
It's good stuff, man.
It's adultish.
It makes
but,
me
you know,
laugh. Not, you get a lot of fun bad. Stuff out of
it's
it.
It's not that bad, but still, though, you know, there are some words sometimes that come out of you guys' mouths.
Well, sometimes.
Concern it.
Okay. Sometimes. You become a father. You want your kid hearing that?
If I become a father, I got bigger issues than my curse words, I promise.
Well played, sir. Well played.
Thank you, guys. Thank you, guys.
All right.
He hit that one out of the park.
Travis Shadon, everybody.
Travis Shadon, Hot Grits Podcast. Check it out. He also writes a lot of great articles.
Yeah.
Check him out. You can go Travis Shadon online. You'll find articles left and right. And he also helps out big time out with PrepSportsCourt.com. He's doing his summer quarterback series preview again. Second year in a row.
Check it out.
Okay. So that's football.
Out.
All right. We're down to inning number four. Angela, you're a trooper hanging in there.
My so, wonderful girlfriend, Angela Peralta. Thank you for coming here. And
Peralta, is she any relationship?
Peralta?
Yeah, baseball player Peralta?
No.
Okay.
No, he's from Venezuela.
She's shaking yes.
She's not. Let me trust you.
I believe you. All right, inning number four. Down to the trivia. We're going to make this short and quick. 53 minutes already, buddy.
Well, hey,
great show.
We got a lot of stuff, and we got a lot of fun guests.
Tyler Gillum, Travis Shadon, what more do you want?
That's good.
All right, so this is episode number 11, okay? The Fanatic, 6 wins, 2 losses, 2 ties. I finally got a win in 17 tries, so I'll take my 2 wins. So today, he's the home team. He throws out the first pitch to me. I'm the visitor.
Okay. The Major League Baseball amateur draft began in 1965. Can you name the very first pick? Now, this was, and I will tell you, this is a guy who had a very successful career. Not a Hall of Famer.
65.
65. The team's going to blow you away, too.
Not a Hall of Famer either.
Nope. Very good all-star caliber player.
Richie Allen, Philadelphia Phillies.
Ooh, very good pick. Dick Allen was already in the league at that time. 1965 was the Kansas City Athletics.
Lou Piniella.
Nope. Rick Monday.
Rick Monday.
There you go. All right.
Another cubby.
Hey.
Okay. I'm going to stick to the All-Star game, so I didn't get a point. Bottom of the first. We do 2 innings, 2 questions, and then we have a tiebreaker. We have to go to tiebreaker.
If need be.
Okay. Who is the longest starting pitcher to pitch in an one All-Star game, and how many innings did he pitch?
Oh,
because now they only pitch 1 inning.
Well, yeah, now they do. But you had a guy go out there and actually chuck one back then.
This is a tough one.
Oh man, I can't even think of what era this would even be in, man. Oh, that is. I got it.
1935, Lefty Gomez went
six
innings for the American League in Cleveland.
6 innings.
The AL 1-4-1. Then the rule came in that no starting pitcher or no pitcher can pitch 1 or 3 innings.
Okay. All right. So,
so it's 0-0. Zero, zero.
So
top of the second.
0-0. All right. This is a postseason. Okay. What player has the most consecutive games to reach base in a career in the postseason? Now, you got to think of a guy who played a lot of postseason baseball.
Do I just give you a name? Or I have to give you how many?
You got
to
give me the name.
Yogi Berra.
Manny Ramirez.
Oh, my God.
37.
For the Indians?
Well, he started with 98, and you look at the rest of his playoff career, you know, when he reached base also with the Red Sox, and you see his time with the Dodgers a little bit after that. So, okay. All right. What you got for me? I really need this. We're going to the bonus round, kids. I'm feeling a tie
if you
here.
Don't get, if you don't get this one, we're going bonus rounds. All right, let's see. Which one would be the toughest one for him? All right. What year did the first All-Star game take place, and where was it at?
1933, Comiskey Park, south side of Chicago. Thought of by a Chicago Tribune sports writer named Arch Ward. I have some clippings from that because I'm a giant nerd. I will take my run.
You just win.
That feels good. Now, you want to hear my question, though?
Go ahead.
Name the first African-American coach in baseball history. This goes to the early 60s.
Frank Robinson.
Nope. Coach.
He was a player coach for the Cleveland Indians.
No, but the first.
During the 60s? Coach.
Now, this was before Frank. Frank was still playing ball. This is just for grins.
So, but he was a player coach.
He was not a player coach.
Frank Robinson was a player coach for the Indians.
He was a player coach. But I'm talking, there was a...
In the 60s.
There was a player, there was a man who was, after his playing career, became a coach.
Larry Dolby.
Good guess. Buck O'Neill.
Buck O'Neill played for who?
Well, he played for the Kansas City Monarchs, the Yankees of the American League in the Negro Leagues. By the way, check out Baseball Reference. It's been updated with some great stats from Negro League legends going back to the 30s. It's pretty cool. And for a baseball buff like me, it's a lot of fun to watch.
Who's the guy, Gibson, right? Wasn't that the
Josh Gibson?
Gibson.
Yeah.
How many home runs did he hit?
Supposedly, he hit 800 plus home runs. So, you know what?
That's, see, I follow this stuff too.
See, that's great. I know you do, but it's, you
and
know.
The Negro Stadium we had on the west side of town, they just demolished it.
Yes, they did, and that was a real shame because that was a big part of Savannah.
They weren't allowed to play
tradition.
Over in Grayson Stadium.
Yep, that was the case. Well, Coach, I'm taking my W. But,
I know. Your food's probably cold.
Well, that's fine. I got mozzarella sticks, and I think a Caesar salad, so I'll probably eat that and maybe have
that's
an adult
no pepperoni, beverage. No pepperoni pizza?
No, I got pizza at home. We had it at lunch. So it's pizza day at work.
But friends. Anyway, so you just watched episode 11 of Who's On First Base Baseball Podcast for June 30th, 2021. Thank you to Tyler Gillum, the head coach at Savannah Bananas. Great guy. Go there. Remember?
Check it out.
Do you remember the four H's?
Was it hugs, handshakes,
high fives.
Okay. The big three.
The big three H's. Do that at every Bananas game. And, of course, got to thank Travis Janon, Hot Grids Podcast, one of the shows here on the Coach of Sports
Check
Center.
Him out.
Okay. Before we go, I cannot forget to do this. Don't forget, Tuesday through Saturday now, breakfast here at Coach's Corner, 7 to 10:30. Come check it out. Another great job by John and Adele Henderson. The crew over at Larry's Restaurant closed down because of COVID-19. John said, bring him over here.
Bring the crew over here, man. See?
And I'm telling you right now, the breakfast is good. First
day. Great food.
I've been here for breakfast. Okay?
Get an omelet, get some waffles. It's all great.
All right. Now, out in the South, of course, inside, we got the NBA playoffs. We got the NHL playoffs. We got Major League Baseball. We got the Olympics. We got the Olympic trials. It's all going on here at Coach's Corner. There's a gazillion TVs.
Yeah.
Just come in and say, I want to watch the Cubbies.
They'll put it on for you.
John will put it on
for you. Got it on there. Eat some good food in the meantime.
Now, out in the Soundgarden.
We got
Thursday. It's open mic hosted by Tommy Holland. So he's got some great acts lined up. Come out and listen to it, okay? All right. This Friday is Elton Live Beyond the Yellow Brick Road, the ultimate tribute. Elvis, Elton John band, come out and check it out. Okay, I didn't bring any water over me. Okay, and then on kicking off the show Friday will be Thomas Claxton. That's two great shows for the price of one. Go to Eventbrite Saturday night. Join Coach's Corner for a July 4th celebration. I know it's July 3rd. There'll be fireworks after the band Drunker performs.
A lot of fun. Those are some talented kids. So come out and check them out.
Great show, Kyle. Once
great
again,
stuff,
whatever you're doing today or tomorrow, what are they going to do?
Make it the best day.
No, hit it out of the park.
Oh, they're going to hit it out of the park. And then?
And then until we talk to them next week, maybe the best week ever.
Oh, yeah, we'll give that a shot, too.
So we're out of here. Have a good one.
See ya.